You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 10, Episode 5 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about being like Christ. Let's get started. In this series, we're looking at the true grace of God, as Peter talked about in 1 Peter 5 and verse 12. And when we talk about grace, it's not as the world defines it, but as Peter described it in his first epistle. So in this fifth lesson in this series, we're going to see what Peter had to say about being like Christ. And we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 25. So to start with, in 1 Peter 2:11, he says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." So as we start this section of verses, what Peter talks about is he's addressing Christians as aliens and strangers. He is reminding them of what Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 3 and verse 20, that this world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. He's telling his readers here and telling us as Christians today, this world is not our home. We are aliens and strangers. And so because we are aliens and strangers, he says, you are to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. This goes along with what he wrote in chapter 1 in verse 14, where he says there, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance." That we previously, before becoming Christians, we would have lived as the world lived. But now, as Christians, that life should not characterize us. Those practices, the things that we engaged in before that were sinful, are not to hold on to us or not to remain with us after we become Christians. Abstain from fleshly lusts. And so he says there in verse 12, keep your behavior excellent. Keep your behavior the way that the Lord wants you to act. As Colossians 3:17 says, do everything in the name of the Lord. Make sure that what you are doing is in the name of the Lord, is excellent. And he says there, among the Gentiles. Now, when he says among the Gentiles here, what he's referring to is those who are outside of the church. We are to let our light shine, as Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, to those who are outside of the church, to those who are not disciples. There are two reasons why we are to do this. Number one, we keep our behavior excellent so as to prevent accusations which may be raised against us, to cause our message to lose credibility in the minds of those who are around us. If people see us as Christians acting sinfully, acting in a way that is conformed with the lust of the world, then to the world, well, we're just hypocrites, and therefore they don't need to listen to us. And so as we try to teach them, we try to lead them to the truth, it's not going to do any good because they're going to be able to accuse us of all of these sinful behaviors. And so we keep our behavior excellent to prevent those accusations. But also, it says there, Peter says there in verse 12, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. This is to hopefully cause them, cause those who are observing us, who might make accusations against us, to ultimately cause them to glorify God, that our example can help lead them to the Lord. That's what we are to do. That's what we are to try to do. We are to be an example to others. Remember that this world is not our home, that we are aliens and strangers. Live in such a way that as others see our actions, would cause them to glorify God also. So then he goes on in verses 13 through 17, and describes the idea of submitting to those who are in authority, but it's a certain type of submission. Notice what he says in verse 13, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority, or to the governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So Peter, as he begins this section of verses here, he says that we are to submit to those who are in authority. Now, obviously, this is not an absolute command that no matter what those who are in authority tell you to do, you must do it. Peter was the one who said in Acts 5 and verse 29, when the leaders, the Jewish council, told him not to speak anymore about Jesus, he said in Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men. And so we need to keep this in mind when he says submit to these human institutions, kings or governors, whoever it is, submit to them. Notice what he says in verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake, not for their sake. You do this for the Lord's sake. This is all in the context of serving God. Well, how does this fit into the context of us serving God? Notice what he says in verse 15, that such is the will of God. Why? Why is it the will of God? That by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Again, as we looked at in verse 12, there will be those who will try to attack us, who will try to accuse us. They will want to slander us as evildoers. Don't give them a reason to slander you as an evildoer. If we can submit to those who are in authority without violating the law of God, then we need to do so. And we do this for the Lord's sake. We do this so that we can present a proper example to those who are around us, that we will hopefully, in the end, lead them to the Lord. But if we are to submit, as he says there in verses 13 and 14, why would Peter say in verse 16, act as free men? How does acting as free men fit with what he said about submitting for the Lord's sake to every human institution? Why would Peter say act as free men? The reason why he says act as free men is because that is what we are. Jesus said over in John chapter 8, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In Christ, or through Christ, we have been made free from sin. We have been made free from the obligation to obey human commands in religion because we submit to Christ. But we are not free to do whatever we please. We act as free men, but we use this freedom as bond slaves of God. We are to fear God, as he says in verse 17. And Ecclesiastes 12:13 links fearing God with keeping his commandments. And so we submit to those who are in authority. We do this for the Lord's sake. However, remember that you are free men. You have been made free by Christ. And so when those leaders tell you to do something that is contrary to his law, you are free from any obligation to submit to that. When we become enslaved in sin and we come to Christ, we become free from sin. When others try to bind their opinions and commands in religion upon us, we are free from any obligation to submit to those because we are free in Christ. So submit to those who are in authority, but do so as free men because ultimately you are following the Lord. But then in the next section of verses here, verses 18 through 20, he says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. So Peter goes on, there's a continued emphasis here on submission, servants being submissive to their masters. And he says, even those who are unreasonable. Now we need to understand in the context of the first century that he's writing, when he talks about masters and slaves or servants, it's a little bit different than the employer-employee relationship like is common today in our culture. If our bosses are unreasonable, we can go and find another job. We can find another employer. There was less mobility for servants or slaves in the first century. However, even in this context for us today, as we submit to those who are in authority, even if you have an employer, you have a boss or a manager who is unreasonable, well, you can go find a new employer. But you still act as a Christian while you are working for that boss. But as Peter is writing here, he's talking about suffering. He's talking about servants and suffering with their masters who are unreasonably treating them unjustly. This principle applies to all types of suffering, even suffering as a Christian, which we will talk about later in this series. But this includes all types of suffering. But he says, we will find favor with God in verse 20. That word favor is the same Greek word as the word that's translated grace elsewhere in this letter and different places in the New Testament. At 1 Peter 5 and verse 12 that we've been focusing on, this is the true grace of God. That's the same word here. That word favor. We find favor with God when we suffer unjustly. We have to be doing what is right in order to find favor with God. So then Peter goes on, as he continues on, he talks about then Jesus' perfect example, that we need to remember his example. Verse 21 says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed." Remember Jesus. He says in verse 21, you have been called for this purpose. What purpose? What is he talking about? Well, what has he talked about in the verses leading up to here? The purpose of doing good, keeping your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, submitting to the will of God. You are bond slaves of God, enduring suffering, as he talked about, that we patiently endure suffering in verse 20. Those are the things he's been talking about. For you have been called for this purpose. Jesus left a perfect example in doing good. He committed no sin, as he says there in verse 22. He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. He is described by the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 7, 26 and 27 as being holy and innocent and undefiled and separated from sinners. We are to submit to the will of God, and Jesus gave us a perfect example of this in submitting to God's will. As Paul described in Philippians chapter 2, that he entrusted himself to the Father. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And so as Peter talked about enduring suffering, Jesus did that. He showed that example. He died on the cross, one of the most cruel forms of execution that man has devised. He endured that death on the cross. But more than just being an example to us, his death makes forgiveness possible for us. That he bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. Over in chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter said, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." By his death, he made forgiveness possible. So it's more than just he left the perfect example for us. That is true. But he left this perfect example for us and made it so that we can be forgiven of our sins. So then the final verse of this chapter, 1 Peter 2:25, "For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul." This is the universal problem of mankind. that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But notice what Peter said there, that you were straying like sheep, but you returned to him. We strayed away, but we returned. There are a lot of people in religion who believe that man is born inherently separated from God. The idea of total depravity that's taught by Calvinism, that's not what Peter taught here. He said, we strayed and we returned. We were innocent, but we departed from the Lord when we chose to sin. But anyone can return and be right with the Lord. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, Peter said that God is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Remember the example of Christ, the example that he left, and how he made forgiveness possible in his death. We need to follow his example. So the Lord has called us not just to come to him, but to be like him. We need to look to Jesus' perfect example that we might do good, submit to God, and endure suffering for his name.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
The lessons in this series are based upon a sermon series that I presented at the Eastside Church of Christ in Morgantown, Kentucky. I just wrapped this series up at the church there right before this episode is being released. But if you would like to hear this sermon that goes into a little more depth than what we did in this episode, the link is available in the show notes, and so you can check that out. Next week, we're going to be talking about seeking peace. Until then, I hope you have a great week.